Hey Budai Nation, welcome to the Ecom Show, where we invite e-commerce entrepreneurs, marketers, and agencies to talk about e-commerce, the best strategies and tactics, and what to implement in your own e-com store. Before we jump into this episode, I ask you to subscribe to this podcast, and if you like it, make sure you share it with at least one friend. As you probably know, we don't run ads. Our growth is purely organic, so it would mean the world to me if you could support us. And now let's jump into the episode. Hey everyone, here is Danny Abudai with a brand new episode of the Ecom Show, and today I'm having two guests here from the company called Desert Love It, and they sell a very interesting Desert Does It and the website is desertdoesit.com, and very interesting product. They are based in the US, a small company with a lean team, very friendly people. We already had a chat before a few weeks ago, and great people. So we are having two people here from the team. Steve is the founder and CEO, and Sarah is the fractional CMO in the company. It's good to have you here, both of you. How are you today?
I'm good. Thanks for having us, Daniel. We're excited to explore this type of media.
Amazing. Where are you based? Are you in the same state?
I am, or not? No, we're in different states. So I'm currently in Las Vegas, Nevada, is where we have our shipping and receiving. And then we are soon to be moving to southern Utah, St. George, Utah, which is just a couple hours away from where we currently are. So all in the southwest part of the United States. And then Sarah, go ahead.
Yeah, and I'm fully remote. I sit in Knoxville, Tennessee, so I'm about 3 hours away in terms of time zones, which makes things a little complicated, but it's fine.
Yeah, that's not that far, I would say. Knoxville is a great city.
Yeah.
It is.
Well known for music, right?
Music and mountains. It's wonderful.
Yeah. So, Steve, my first question is to you. When did you start this company? Is this your first business, and at all, like, why did you launch this company?
Sure. Yeah. So the company started very organically, almost 5 years to the day. April 14th of 2019 is when the idea for this company started, and it started with just a single product that a good friend of mine had and was curious if it could be sold to the general public. So yeah, we started it really as a side hustle. It was just this was for beer money or mod money for our cars. And it was never meant to be a full-time gig with multiple employees. It was always meant to be just something on the side burner. So 5 years ago, started out of my a little garage shop on the side of my house, hand packing orders and we've come quite a long way. And yeah, so it started based out of the necessity. My friend bought a new Toyota Tacoma. That's a 2018 Tacoma at the time. And he was immediately uncomfortable in the truck. So he's like, I got to do something to fix it. And it just so happens he's a machinist. So he designed a product that would make the seat more comfortable. And it does that by lifting up the front of the seat. We call it a seat jacker. And it just makes a flat, otherwise flat seat into more of a reclined kind of a bucket seat. And it's just makes a lot of vehicles a lot more comfortable to drive. So, yeah.
Does it change the angle of the seat, or how should we?
It does. Yeah. So we have multiple products, but our hero product is the front seat jacker, which lifts the front of the seat up in varying degrees in just the front. So the rear stays in the same place and the front lifts up by half an inch all the way up to it, like an inch and a quarter. And again, it's just to provide kind of like a racing bucket seat you might find in like a Porsche or a high-end sports car. And it just makes your seat a little bit more comfortable. And people say it feels like I'm sitting in my seat, not on my seat. That's a lot of the feedback we get from our customers. So
I'm just wondering, so why Toyota and these car manufacturers, why don't they just realize this and why don't they do it themselves? This adjustment.
The only thing we can come up with is that, everybody's body is different and everyone has a different idea of comfort, right? Comfort's very subjective. Yeah. So it's hard to kind of fit a one size fits all when it comes to an automotive seat. That's why a lot of nicer high end vehicles have, like, you know, 21 seat adjustments, right? Where you can electrically adjust every little portion of the seat, right? But the common car, which most people are driving every day, doesn't have the luxury of all those adjustments. So this just kind of provides that additional level of adjustment that didn't exist prior. You know, you might have to put a seat cushion in there or some other products. And this is more of a permanent fix. And it's easy to install and easy to remove with simple hand tools. So it's not for everybody, but for the people that do need it, they love it. We've got thousands and thousands of rave reviews. So, yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah, I read a few reviews and I remember one guy who said that I got this product after I drove 7 hours and I still feel amazing. So many people, they drive long hours and they really need a seat jacker.
Yeah, yeah. And we make them for all different makes and models. You know, we have them for Toyota and Jeep are our big sellers. But we make them for Subarus, Hondas, Hyundais, Chevys, Rams, Dodge. I think we're up to like 65 or 70 different vehicle makes and models that we support. So, yeah.
Yeah. I have a very specific question here because I talked to two other companies. They also, they are both in Australia. They sell different products. I think one guy sells accessories for chainsaws in Australia. Okay. And the other, I don't even remember, but I think Vipers for cars. But the point is, there are many different models, just like in your case, different cars, different chainsaws, you know?
Use cases, yeah.
Yeah, and many different products and SKUs. How do you drive your traffic on the website? Because there are so many ways how you can organize products, like based on the brand or based on the year of the cars, or how do you organize people to find what they want?
I'll let Sarah take that one because it's been a learning curve, but go ahead, Sarah.
Yeah, it has. I mean, you know, I think from the beginning, it was a struggle to figure out how to organize all of that information. But as we dug into kind of the user flow and the way that people think about their vehicles, they think vehicle first. So we, on the website, implemented a kind of self sort mechanism. You'll see it's like a little widget we use a Shopify website. And so they essentially start by putting in the vehicle, make, model, and year, and then it brings all products that are available to that. And it has been a little bit of a struggle because, you know, folks may have multiple vehicles, but they're looking for one specific vehicle, or they may have that vehicle for, you know, a long period of time. And I think, you know, we've kind of touched on that idea of like our long tail buy, right? Because it's not a consumable product. But just based on user flow and the way that people think about their vehicles, that's where we started, was like, this is your specific vehicle. Here's everything that we offer that is compatible with that vehicle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And another thing to note is very few of our products are universal, right? They are very specific to that year, that make, that model, that generation of vehicle, of Honda Accord or Toyota Tacoma or Jeep Wrangler, right? It fits that specific year range, which may be 4 years, it may be 8 years, right? But typically a particular product doesn't fit more than an 8 year range of a vehicle, you know, 2005 to 2013. Right. Mm-hmm. Of a particular Toyota Tacoma. So it's definitely, we prototype a lot. We prototype at least once a month where we prototype new vehicles or new generations of new vehicles or previous generations of vehicles based on customer feedback and customer requests. Mm-hmm. One thing I forgot to mention is, we are a Shopify based, website, which I love. It's been very user friendly from the get go. You know, the first year or two, it was just me created the website and you know, fumbled through everything. And then we got some professional help as the years have progressed. But, we started in the enthusiast community, the off-roading, overlanding, outdoor community is where we started, just because that's who we are. Right. So very niche market initially. And we've since grown it to more of a general pop thing. But, Yeah, we manufacture everything in the U.S. and we're proud of that. And we try to source locally and use local small businesses as much as possible for all of our, you know, steps along the way, production along the way. So, yeah, it's cool. It's very neat. We machine everything. My business partner is a machinist and he's got a 4,000 square foot machine shop. It's a very cool operation. So,
yeah, it's amazing. And when did you meet Sarah?
Sarah and I have we're family friends, so we grew up together in the same neighborhood in southern Utah, and my older sister was very good friends with her, and I was very good friends with her younger brother. So I've known Sarah since I was probably 9 years old,
somewhere. Yeah.
Elementary. So as this company created itself, and we just fumbled into it, you know, Sarah's been in marketing since she graduated college, essentially, right?
Yeah.
And yeah. I would lean on her for advice, and then she just slowly became a bigger part of the company, guiding me and helping and stuff. So it's been, I couldn't ask for a better, partner in that department, and it's been, a godsend. So yeah.
We're very sympathetic, like, though. Too.
Yeah,
but like in a good way, not.
Yeah.
I think one of the interesting things about all of this is that essentially, like, Steve started building the plane literally while in the air, and so that's been kind of the case for the last 5 years. Is, you know, okay, here's what's happening now. Here's how we react to it. Here's the solution we can find, and until we find a better one, and then we'll implement that. And because we're a small business who is self-funded, we've never gone to, never sought equity outside of the business. It's always had to be profitable. It's always had to sustain, paid employees. So it's been a little bit of a, build it slowly as it goes in a very sustainable way, which requires, constant partnership, constant patience, constant revisiting and communication. Mm-hmm. I think, to be honest, it's been great for our friendship because, like, we talk every day.
Definitely. It's definitely been a learning curve. So before we started Desert Does It, I worked in construction, building railroads and transit railroads across the country. So I did that for 20 years in, mm-hmm. Chicago, New York, Seattle, California, Arizona, all over the U.S., building railroads. So this couldn't have been further from what I was accustomed to, right? So it's definitely been a learning curve in every aspect. Everything we do, I'm learning something new every day, which is fun, but also does get tiring. But yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. What's the size of the team now? How many people do you have in the company?
Yeah, so at the machine shop, which is a separate company, but the machine shop, they have four employees, two machinists, three machinists and one person that does all the powder coating on our products. And then here at Desert Does It, we have two people in the warehouse, and then one person does customer service and some website development and some purchasing. So four, including me. Sarah is a fifth as a subcontractor.
Yeah.
4 to 8, depending on how you split the company.
Yeah, makes sense. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about marketing. So actually I typed in a seed jacket because I was curious of your competitors or, what I find. And you were mm-hmm. the first name that I found. So I guess you really focus on SEO. Is this the main channel? I guess I would guess so, because people, they need this thing and then they just type it in.
Yeah. So the term seat jacker is our term. We invented that term. Okay. It's trademarked. And we do have a patent on some of our products as well. Mm-hmm. US patent. There's a lot of different products out there that do similar things. The problem is they were just very niche, right? They only supported one vehicle and very small. We've tried to broaden that horizon. And so, if anyone knows the term, and it's becoming kind of a household name, the seat jacker term, so much so that we have to go after, infringing companies that try to use that term. Yeah. And that's always fun. But really we do have competition. a lot of indirect competition, not a lot of direct competition, but you know, it's common.
Basically, you own the niche, right?
Yes, and this I believe we do. Yeah.
Would you recommend other companies patenting their product name? Let's see.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. If you came up with a unique name and you're kind of an industry first, I think it's definitely brought us a lot of value. I think that we're fortunate that we were able to come up with that name. And actually, my business partner, Joe, who's the machinist, he's the one that came up with that name. And I think it's helped us a lot. Patents and trademarks are double-edged sword. They're helpful, but they are difficult to enforce, especially when it comes to, you know, other countries. And we ship worldwide. We've shipped to, I think, I want to say just over 40 countries, you know, all over Europe, all over, you know, Asia, all over. We've hit Africa. We've hit, I think, forget how many continents we've hit. I think we're missing like 3 continents. So, but yeah, Australia, New Zealand, we ship to there probably monthly. Norway, Sweden. It's very cool. Canada, we ship to multiple times a day.
It's been interesting that as the strategy has changed. So when we first launched, right, it was all about awareness. It was all about driving, right, like getting the product out there. Now, while we're still focused on acquisition, like a lot of our activity is around defense of our territory, right, as these like competitors emerge. To be honest, most of our competitors are folks that are just straight knockoffs of our product. So it is a constant battle, and Steve's the one that fights every day, right, to not get those, you know, taken off Amazon, all of the platforms to try and kind of head those off at the pass, because none of them are necessarily offering those products on their own as their own brand, right? For the most part, they come in and they even like physically take our images from our website or our images from our Amazon listings and just reuse them and relaunch them, right, with a cheaper product that they've sourced somewhere, right? So in that case, like our Google strategy, and especially around SEO, is really specifically around just maintaining that territory. In other marketing, we've been primarily on Facebook and, you know, the Meta platforms and Google, expanding a little bit. You know, we've tested other platforms, other channels, just to kind of see where we get a lot of traction. But those are the primary for now. We're, I think, just now exploring TikTok. And that's kind of a mixed bag. It's honestly just really time consuming.
Because we're a small team, right? So it's, you know, you're looking at the two people that are probably going to have to manage all those platforms, right? We do source an ad buyer. We have an ad buyer we've been working with for probably a year and a half now. Yeah. And they've been excellent. But it's a lot of the big problem with our product, like I said, because it is a niche product, it is a new kind of product type, is the education, right? Educating people that, hey, these are seat jackers. It's not for short people. It's not for tall people. It's not for big people. It's not for small people. It's for everybody. And it's a comfort thing. And that comfort is subjective. So it's difficult to, it's one of those things I forget the type of product they call this, but it's, you have to kind of use it to understand it, right? You have to have it installed in a product in your vehicle to understand the benefits. And it's hard to kind of get that across. So that's been, I think, one of our biggest struggles is educating people. And what's funny is, and if you read our reviews, you'll see this on Amazon or on our own website, is that people are like, you know, I've heard about these for years and I always thought it was just a you know, nothing I needed. And I thought it was a waste of money. I got it and they go, I wish I would have bought these the day I bought my vehicle. They are, you know, they're great. So we get a lot of that. I would say like half of our reviews say that, which is good and bad, which means it just took us a lot of ad money to get to them eventually. Right. But eventually they did buy. But customer acquisition costs, we're always working on that. Right. Like everybody.
Hey Budai Nation, welcome to the Ecom Show. I ask you to subscribe to this podcast, and if you like it, make sure you share it with at least one friend. As you probably know, we don't run ads. Our growth is purely organic, so it would mean the world to me if you could support us. And now let's jump into the episode. Yeah, because I guess SEO is very, and ads are very effective once they know what is a seed checker and they actively search for it, but they have to get to that point. So somehow you have to reach these people and explain this to them, what is a seed checker and that you exist, because they are not aware.
No.
Yeah.
They might not even realize how uncomfortable their vehicle is because they've been driving it for 2, 3, 4 years, right? It's just normal, right?
Yeah.
It's also a pretty difficult thing to explain in a, you know, 15 or even 8 second video, which is like predominantly what's on CTV and YouTube. Tough to get that message across. So I think one of our greatest assets has been from the very beginning, right? Steve said he was partnering with the enthusiast community in the forums and, you know, all of those places where those conversations were happening about specific vehicles or about, right, like modifications. And then those folks kind of took the ball and ran with it for us, which is we're incredibly grateful for. It's been wonderful to have that kind of community support. And then also as some of those folks, you know, transitioned into some of our biggest advocates and became influencers and even affiliates, right, like as we
brand ambassadors. Yeah.
Word of mouth. I'm sure it's big. Maybe two other things I could name is trade shows. If you have the capacity to go to trade shows and show the product to people. And the other one is maybe PR, like articles or maybe paying some influencers in this niche talking about this product on YouTube.
And so we have, as far as the trade shows, in 2021 and 2020, or rather 2022 and 2023, we were doing a lot of trade shows. A lot is relative. We did 2 or 3 trade shows a year. And we those were helpful, but what's hard about the trade shows for us is that it's not an immediate, you don't see the results immediately, right?
That's for sure.
It costs a lot of money to go to those shows. We're a small outfit, so we shut down the shop. We bring the whole team to these shows in other states and surrounding states, and so that means orders get behind. That means all our other day-to-day tasks get behind. And then you go to these shows, and you don't have great sales at these shows if you're going there to sell. But so it's something we're gonna get back into in the coming year. But we have kind of put a pause on that in the last, I would say, 8 months. I agree. It is a big benefit. It's hard to do it all, right? It's hard to do it all and do it all well. So that's one thing. I'll let Sarah take the other item.
Yeah, I mean, you just have to have a lot of patience, right? As a small business that's building. I mean, we've experienced, I would say, incredible growth, right? Like even year over year, I'd say it's like 30% plus growth every year. But it's still right, like managing that time, managing that resource, managing the people that you have available, and really understanding which of these efforts is going to get the most ROI, right? And which one's going to build over the long term. So it's really just, you know, a constant game of prioritization. In terms of the native advertising or journalism or PR, you know, all of those, which are kind of starting to blend now, right? Like you don't really advertise, or even journalists, right, are now like transitioning to more affiliates. So it's all kind of like messed up, but mixed together, I should say, not messed up. But we have explored that world. It's just been really hard to, like that is another thing that's super time consuming because it's individual outreach, right, to folks who are in that specific niche. It's not like, and maybe a spot on, you know, Good Morning America or whatever the gold standard is for PR right now might get us some sales and awareness, but our audience is so dialed in, right, that it really has to be somebody who is a vehicle enthusiast, who realizes they're uncomfortable in the car, who also is willing to like install a modification, right, or find someone who can help them do that. That it's really hard for us to go broad in that way. And so it's really time consuming to find those individuals who understand the product and understand the value, mm-hmm. and then are also willing to write a couple of blog articles for us. But it's something we're all
find them.
Yeah,
yeah, we have many, and we're continuing to develop that group. But we do have a lot of people that will reach out to us, right? Micro influencers that'll reach out and ask for free products. And, you know, we're not a fan of giving away a lot of free product, but we do. And it's usually we'll give out the product and we'll say, hey, listen, here's the product. You can have it for free. You can do your own video review or social media platform review on it, and good or bad, post your results, you know, and you have freedom of the creative, right? So that's worked out well for us. But again, it is, like Sarah said, it's time consuming managing all those one-on-one relationships. They bring a lot of value, and it's something we're going to continue to utilize and explore. But like you, Sarah said, we all wear multiple hats. We're all doing several things. So we're trying to remain lean and mean, at the same time, do everything. And we'll get there. I'm not complaining. We've been very fortunate with the growth and very fortunate with the team we've been able to build around us. So yeah, it's been a fun experience.
Yeah, these channels are definitely long-term investments. And I have personal experience with conferences. We can call them trade shows, very similar in my niche. And, you know, I go to conferences, and then actually this year I stopped. And just now I got invited to speak at two events, which are the fruit of my previous efforts that I went to other conferences. So, you know, there is a big delay. Sometimes it's even years.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Planting seeds. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. That's what you do. But I'm not, you know, I think you are on the right track. I could see the growth that you had. So I think you are in the right way, and you are really far from being afraid about growth. I think also the product is unique. So you are on the right track. I must ask you, so Desert Does It, what does this name mean, and where did it come from?
Yeah, so I grew up in the Southwest of the United States, right? The desert, the high desert. And to be honest, like I said, when we started this company, we thought this was just beer money, right? This was just going to be a few hundred extra dollars a week or a month, right? It wasn't ever meant to be this big thing that it's grown into.
You didn't expect, by the way, like never in your dreams that
never.
People will buy it, you know, like thousands
never.
Of people.
Never. We always thought this would be a side hustle. I'm so glad, and we are so excited on where it's, you know, where it's going and where it is. But so when I was creating the LLC and creating the Shopify and buying the website URL and all that stuff, you know, this is going to be silly. And Sarah, I don't even know if I've ever told you this story. If you remember the old milk commercial, you know, milk does the body good, or what, something along those, right? Milk does it.
Does the body good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then also there was like a Bo Jackson, Bo does baseball, Bo does golf, Bo does football. Do you remember that from the 90s? I'm an old baseball card collector. So Bo Jackson's from the 90s. But anyway, so it was Bo does everything. So I don't know how it clicked in my head between the milk ads and the Bo Jackson stuff from baseball. It just Desert Does It. And really, it means nothing besides something that I thought of. Well, it means something, but it's pulled out of thin air.
You know what's funny? I never questioned it. I literally never questioned it because, like, when Steve is not at work, right, or not, you know, doing Desert Does It stuff, he's literally out in the desert in his truck with his family in a camper, right? So in my mind, it just always made sense. This desert does.
Yeah. Yes, but again, this was not meant to be what it is today. But now it is the name, and it's stuck. And there are far worse names out there for companies. It's a unique name. It's got some good initials, DDI. It's you know, easy to remember in that respect. But yeah, it just one of those things.
It's the desert.
Yeah,
that's it. Yeah, that's great.
So,
and my last question. So, what would be your number one advice to your younger self? Steve, let's say when you started out, when you launched the company, what would you tell?
Obviously a lot of things right. Right. You know, I went on LegalZoom. I created an LLC. I hopped on Shopify. I created a website. Right. We did all those things right. I would say what we did wrong, and I don't know if we could have done it any other way, is I regret putting our product on the e-commerce sites like Amazon, like eBay, because at the time we started in the forums, right? So I was in the enthusiast forums posting about my product and getting a lot of feedback from people, and they were spreading the word, doing the marketing for me. But then I said, hey, well, you know, we're a new website. How do you drive traffic to your website? Well, it's hard to do that and it's expensive to do that. So let's go on Amazon and eBay. So I put a few of my products, not all of them, a few of them on eBay. Mm-hmm. And within 6 months, the scalpers came out. They started knocking our products off of eBay and Amazon. And they started manufacturing them overseas for pennies on the dollar compared to what we could manufacture in the US, right? We pay all our people a very nice living wage. We take care of our employees. We're very employee forward. You know, we treat our employees how we, you know, the last 20 years of our careers, how we wanted to be treated. So because we do that, it's very expensive to produce our product. But that was my biggest mistake, I would say, because of the knockoffs, was putting our unique product on Amazon and on eBay, where anyone in the world could see our stats of how many we were selling a day and what sort of, you know, and say like, oh, I can make that widget for a dollar and I can sell it for, you know. So that was our biggest mistake.
Interesting. Yeah, I heard this story many times. But I guess you are doing well. Like, I can see other companies, they had to shut down because of these copycats.
We're building our brand, right? And Sarah is obviously a huge part of that, is building our brand. And obviously, you know, continuing with a quality product and standing behind our product and having amazing customer support. I think those three things are huge, and what keep people coming back to us time and time again when they get new vehicles or sharing our story and our products with other people.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Sarah, I'm asking the same question to you. So what would you tell to yourself, let's say, when you came to this company to help?
Yeah. I think, to be honest, like my answer went a little bit more philosophical because it wasn't very tactical. It was basically just learn everything, right? Like, just be willing to try anything, to learn anything, to like dive into it. And if it doesn't work, right, then you've learned something, and then learn the next thing.
Yeah,
I think that I think has been one of the biggest successes for us. And we had to just be brave about it, which younger Sarah definitely would not have been okay with. But you just got to try it and like be willing to accept the consequences and learn from them and adjust and, you know, and then try the next thing. And I think that's been one of the keys to the success, right? Is that we're just willing to try it or learn it or figure it out. And I think, for anybody trying to start a small business or build a small business, like that's just what you got to do. Just be open to everything, figure it out.
And I'll add to that. And I think, you know, and I talked about this, my previous experience for 20 years was building railroads, right? So when I got into this, I was throwing anything at the wall that would stick, right? And so I wasn't ingrained, and I didn't have tunnel vision on this is the way it works, and this is the way you grow a company, and this is the way you build an e-commerce company, right? So I was trying anything, right? Hey, I'd watch a podcast or I'd watch a YouTube video about people trying things or doing things. I said, well, let's try it, right? Let's see if that works. And we'll spend a little bit of money on it, hopefully not waste too much money, and learn a lesson. And we've been able to just rinse and repeat that kind of. And I think to your point, Sarah, it's we're willing to try anything. You know, we'll try it once, right? Fool me once, you know, fool me twice. So, yeah.
And it doesn't always work. Like, you get burned. Right.
But we learn and we get assets out of those things, and we get, you know, so it's it's
a lot of takeaways, right? I always write those down and share it with the team. It's helpful. Even my self-reflections.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and most of my employees are very good friends of mine. So we have a very open relationship, and I think communication has been key in building a company. Yeah, I communicate, I over communicate with everybody in the company, and I think that yes, there are some downsides to that, but overall, it's a positive thing for the company and for the employees. So yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. Thank you, Steve and Sarah, for sharing your stories today and the story of Desert Does It. And I will put the link into the description so you can find the Seed Jackers. And if you can give it a try, because you never know if the comfort that you have is the is the maximum comfort that you can have. So
absolutely. Yeah. And we offer, you know, we're pretty lenient on returns and stuff like that. And so, yeah, give us a call if you have any questions, or email. You're going to get a person if you call us, and you're going to get a response to your email usually within 24 hours. So we're pretty proud of our customer service.
It's amazing. So yeah, desertdoesit.com, check out the website. I will put one more link into the description, and this is from my company. So we sent out more than 500 million marketing emails on behalf of our clients in the past years, and we collected the top 100 email templates, and now we made this available for free. So I add the link to the description, and everyone can check this out as well. Just click the link and you can download it. And thank you again. Thanks everyone who listened to us. Stay tuned. Every week we come with a new episode, and I wish you a great day.
Thanks, Daniel.
Thank you, Daniel.